Communication Untangled with Sue Keogh. Untangling tickets.
A ticket is way more than just a slip of paper that gets you into a gig, show, or football match. It's something you gaze at longingly as you look forward to the event and hold on to afterwards as a keepsake. It's as much about anticipation as gaining entry on the day. In this episode, we're going to untangle tickets with designer Jules Akel. For 25 years, he created beautiful tickets for Marylebone Cricket Club at Lord's, and he's designed an abundance of materials for Wimbledon, Ascot, and music festivals. Of course, nowadays, we just flash a QR code or barcode stored on our phone, but as Jules explains, we can still design tickets so they feel special, giving us a sense of joy and fun about the whole experience. Along the way, we talk forgeries, buried treasure, and the power of wit in helping brands connect with the audience. We also break off to look at how Disney take tickets to a whole other level with wearable technology, the Magic Band. Before we dive in, I wanted to go back to basics and remind ourselves what a ticket actually is. What purpose does it serve?
So a ticket is beyond a fragile and ephemeral item, whether that's paper or digital that we casually dispose of, because anyone involved in marketing an event should see the ticket as a real opportunity. It's far more than just that token for admission. It's a real store of value, which can play a substantial role in sustaining the reputation of any event. And the skill of using this little space to convey meaning should never be underestimated.
Tell me a little bit more about the kind of things that you've designed as well. So you have designed tickets, you do lots of packaging, typography, posters. So when did you personally become interested in ticket design itself?
Well, I was creating various materials for MCC, just trying to enhance the enjoyment of the occasion for all the different visitors to the ground. And Colin Maynard, the assistant secretary, he wanted to make the process a pleasure right from the beginning, from the application process all the way through to arriving at the ground. He wanted it to be special and something that befitted the status and the occasion of the place. And one of those aspects we worked on together was the design of the ticket. So the first set I did was for the Ashes. And my first designs really had a look about money, because people invest in tickets for whatever event months in advance, don't they? And that ticket can cost 100, 200, more. Now that's quite some outlay in advance. And it's really important that that outlay many months in advance is recognised, and the confirmation to the customer actually has some perceived investment value. A barcode won't do that. How can a barcode have any sense of expenditure? But a finely crafted ticket will confirm all the bundle of emotions we all have before an event, and that's whether it's paper or digital. And it's not being Luddite, this. It's just recognising the power of linking each element for the reputation of the brand.
Yeah, they really do play a powerful role in helping us get excited, don't they? Because I think back while you're talking, I was thinking back to when I first started going to gigs and concerts and actually having that ticket in my hand that was going to give me entrance to Brixton Academy or something like that. And then I was looking at it all the time, looking forward to it, and then use it on the night, obviously. But then, of course, I keep it for years afterwards. And so it is this element of making people excited and anticipation. Is that always in your mind while you're designing?
I think it's got to be, because a barcode, if we're utilitarian about any aspect of a brand, that utilitarianism will become part of the brand's message. Now, all well and good if utilitarian is part of the brand's message and its story, but I do assume that a piece of theatre, an event, a sports arena, a music festival, it's going to be much more inviting, much more romantic than a barcode, isn't it?
And how does that fit in with the other elements then? So you've got your ticket, but then you go through the turnstiles, and then there's other branding, there's other events materials. And I think you've designed other things like maps and guides and signage and that kind of thing.
If someone's passionate about a brand, they'll lap up all those layers of story, won't they? And it'll amplify their enjoyment and help them to enthuse to their friends and increase the cachet of the event. So if we're clever to augment that perceived value, the perceived value of all those little things, some of those things will be kept and treasured and then displayed as well.
You've got a whole book of tickets, haven't you? So beautiful hardback book that you sent me called Cricket Tickets. They just look so beautiful and intricately designed, and they're beautiful colours, you know, lovely reds and these lovely kind of intricate swirls on them. So they do actually look like banknotes. So they do feel very special. Let's talk about Lords a little bit more. When did they realise that it was an integral part of the brand and the whole experience? What did their tickets look like before you came along? Were they a little bit more functional?
Yes, I think they realised very easily that there was a disconnect between the face value of the ticket and the design value. And that's really the challenge to any event today, if they're going to use a barcode or a QR code, isn't it? It doesn't look valuable. And I know this podcast is all about the covert influence of small yeah. things.
Yeah.
And that's exciting, isn't it? And it's something a good designer can bring, the power of the covert influence. And so the best design and marketing is all about potent suggestions, isn't it? And tickets, whether they're paper or digital, can carry all those suggestions. I've worked for L'Oreal, and now look, a white bottle with the word shampoo on it tells you what the contents is. But if you add in all those suggestions of rejuvenation, use a nice scientific typeface and put the bottle in a nice silky bottle, well, the consumer's well on the way to being seduced. Good marketing and design just sets all that up, doesn't it? The power of good design, persuading consumers to do things without them really being aware of the persuasion. And it is the accumulation of all those small things, the attention to detail, those unnoticed things that make the big difference in the art of persuasion.
Keeping that in mind, so when you were designing tickets for Lords, can you just talk me through the process? So where did you actually start so that you made sure that you kind of weaved in all of these different elements, these approaches?
The design process starts the spring of the preceding year. So all the tickets are designed during the summer and printed in early autumn, and then they go on sale October, November for the next summer. And I have always concentrated on the identity of the visiting nations. That's so much more interesting, isn't it, than just one ticket after another just being an expression of English jingoism. And all those nations that visit Lords, they're so fascinating. There's such a rich visual library. So Sri Lanka, predominantly Buddhist, India, Hindu, Pakistan, Muslim. For South Africa and Zimbabwe, there's Africa's rich tribal art. So using all those things.
And what about things like readability? So you've got quite a lot of factual information, things like the date, things like the time, things like the address, so people can actually find the ground. Maybe they're not familiar with Lords, maybe they're not familiar with London. So how do you try and get a balance there between including all the factual information, making it easy to read, but still making it beautiful?
The fact is, I really enjoy making text enjoyable to read. Me and Beatrice Ward are just one on this. Do you know Beatrice Ward?
No, I don't. Tell me more.
Marketing manager at the Monotype. She likens good typography to a beautiful glass. She said, "There are 1,000 mannerisms in typography that are as impudent and arbitrary as putting port in tumblers of green glass."
She's so right.
Now, no doubt, I have got my mannerisms, just a few of them. But for me, typography is a slave to the reader. Reading has got to be a pleasure. The designer just mustn't get in the way of that. It is, in the words of Beatrice, impudent for a designer to make it anything else.
Have you ever been to Disneyland? It's one of the 6 resorts run by Disney around the world, which together are visited by over 120 million people every year. With tickets costing upwards of $100 a day, in commercial terms, that means, hang on, let me grab my abacus. Okay, let's just say it's critical that they get the ticketing process right. It's all down to good CX, or customer experience. And rather than having paper tickets that could get lost or covered in sticky fingerprints from all those burgers and donuts, they give you the magic band to put on your wrist. It's wearable technology, which acts as your park ticket, hotel room key, and keeps you in a virtual queue so you don't have to stand in line in the hot sun for hours on end. Along with the app, it's a pretty seamless, integrated experience that gives you more time just to have fun. And it connects to your credit card for easy payment for food, or maybe you want to add on extra attractions. For Disney themselves, this means they can gather a huge mass of data on their visitors. They keep a close eye on their preferences so they can offer them even more personalised experiences through the app, which leads to more customer loyalty and positive word of mouth when people get home. They can see how this huge volume of visitors moves around the parks, which helps with crowd management and health and safety. And of course, they can fine-tune the service and pricing as a result and make even more money. Now, let's go back to designer Jules Akel and talk about another big brand, Wimbledon. What were the elements he wanted to get across when designing tickets for their famous tennis tournaments?
Well, of course, there's heritage and tradition at Wimbledon, but it is a place of elite sport with all that power and muscle and speed and energy and skill. And then, of course, we all got in our minds about Wimbledon being elegant as well. And also that it's a wonderful summer festival, isn't it? And uniquely, of course, Wimbledon attracts women in a way that no other sporting venue in Britain does. And that's not women going along with a male partner. That's women going together with other women. So all of that is part of the spirit of the tournament.
And of course, one thing you find with Wimbledon is that quite often rain stops play and ruins everybody's fun. So you might have to think about that when it comes to the material that it's all printed on, I imagine. And the other thing that struck me as well is, what about forgery? So you were saying earlier that a lot of the tickets, they look very valuable. So what's to stop someone coming along and making copies?
Yes, well, the e-ticket does provide tremendous advantages, of course, in security and tracking the journey of the ticket. But I really feel we shouldn't throw out the design, all that allurement and enchantment. All great brands have problems with forgeries. And having invested so much into the reputation of the brand, they have to protect that jealously. Most forgers can be put off with just a few elements that will make it just a bit too expensive. For paper tickets, we used tactile elements to reinforce the status of the event. And for Lord's tickets, at one stage, we were using 100% cotton rag paper, exactly the same paper for banknotes, which is lovely, isn't it? Long fibres, highly durable, and that gorgeous, lush feeling. At the time, we did use spot colour printing, which allowed for very fine ink lines, which did, up to a point, mimic banknotes. And we had some embossing and foiling as well, which put them off.
And this is definitely the kind of thing you keep as a memento, isn't it? What about any other challenges? So has anything ever gone wrong? So, for example, a typo that you've seen after printing, or maybe you're starting to design the tickets to spring before the match, and there's all sorts of things that can go on in politics and all these countries. So has that ever led to any issues?
Yes, a few. One particular event on a Sunday morning, a week before an England versus India one day international, Colin Maynard was in his deck chair in his garden when his piece was interrupted by a call from the England Wales Cricket Board. The India team manager was really upset about the design of the ticket. I'd created this picture of a stump with feathers in the form of an England flag stuck in the middle of a big archery target, and this was the India flag in a circle, and they thought it was being disrespectful. Well, this one man actually thought it was disrespectful. This was 1 week before the event. So, and thousands of these tickets have been sold to people all over the world, but no complaints. But I did have to write a letter to the India High Commissioner.
And I think you were designing the tickets when England were playing South Africa in 1994, weren't you? So that was while apartheid was coming to an end, a new government was being formed. So were you watching the news all the time and thinking, please don't change the flag, don't change the flag?
Well, we did have to change the flag,
right? Yes. Yeah. All these challenges.
And I did draw a really nice springbok for one, and that wasn't allowed. Well, MCC decided it was too sensitive, even though it is the national animal. And even though the rugby team uses the springbok, it was deemed to be too sensitive.
Have you got any more designs like that that you've had to keep under lock and key and will just never see the light of day?
Well, they're all in that book, actually.
Oh, right.
That was the great pleasure of doing the book.
Yeah.
Because I could put all the tickets that were rejected in by the book.
Yeah.
See the contentious ones.
Well, it's a beautiful book. It's a really nice sort of coffee table book, isn't it, that you can just leaf through.
Which brand wouldn't want people buying a book like that of all their brand statements? They're not going to have a book of barcodes, are they, one day?
So, in fact, moving on to that sort of issue, and the world has changed. So, for example, I got the train down here this morning.